Alright, the Lord is good. Okay, being the last Tuesday, therefore. So we'll say many things, alright, which we'll pray with. We'll say many things here and there. We'll just keep on rounding them together. But I want to speak finally as the last portion of the teaching we've been having and prayer session we've been having and what we'll call them, praying to change the seasons. That is changing your season. And like I said, this is not talking about the season of a nation. He's not talking about season outside that doesn't depend on you, but talking about your own personal season in life. Let's just review briefly some things that we should know about that we have discussed here and there. And that's the fact that the way God ordained it is like a school. You understand? Life is like a school. And you are in different classes, you know. And that day I was about to enter into an exam hall. That was just a few days ago. In fact, we did the practicals of the exam today. That was last week. And the student came late, and I was asking the student, what class are you in? He said, I'm in final year. I said, that is get out of here. He said, I'm in final year. He said, you cannot be in final year and be writing pathology. I teach pathology, and it's done in the fourth year. You know, some of the points. Now, what he meant is that his classmates are in the final year, and he still deceives himself. Very common in my school. He still deceives himself that he's in that class, but he hasn't passed pathology. And until you pass, are you getting my point? You cannot move to the next level. But he keeps on, and I can't bore you, I don't want to bore you with the details. But I looked at him simply, that which class are you in? And he thought I wanted to know where he's supposed to be and where his classmates are. I kind of didn't recognize him, so I thought maybe he was confused. So I wanted to be sure that he was taking that exam. Do you follow what I'm saying? So which class are you in? So I'm in final year. And then I get out of here. This is for fourth year students. I'm met in 6 years. Finally, you should be in 6 years. This is for 4 years today. And then finally, after a while, I got the point. And you know what I'm talking about? That's how life is. It's not how long you have been there. It is whether you have fulfilled the things that are required to move you to the next level. Do you follow my point? Yes, that's how life is. It's not just come and tell me I'm in final year. You haven't passed pastoral. You don't fool yourself, my friend. You're in 4th year. Why? You haven't fulfilled. That's why I said life is in seasons. Is in what? Seasons. Before you move to the next season, you must fulfill the matters that have to do with the current season. That's the way it is. So, though you enter into university and they tell you that this course is supposed to be for 5 years, they don't mean that the fact that you're entering the year 2011, you will be out in 2016. They don't mean that. What they mean is that there are courses that must be fulfilled within a certain period of time, and when you fulfill them, you will be out of here. And we propose that it should take you 5 years to complete all those courses. And we have grouped them into different levels. You take the first set, you fulfill them, you go to the next level. You take that one, you go to the next level. And until you fulfill what's there for each season, you're not ready to go to the next season. So a lot of us go to pray like that. My students say, I'm in final year, God. I'm in final year. Say, hey, relax, relax. You have not passed, you haven't passed pathology. You're in 4th year. Don't deceive me. You get the logic? So when we're talking about seasons, therefore changing, it's not just about using prayer. Christians believe in prayer more than the Lord expects them to. Are you getting my point? They pray about things that they shouldn't bother praying about. They labor themselves thinking that it's by, and Jesus warned about it, that Gentiles, that's how they pray, they think that it's by much repetition. Do you follow my point? Much repetition, keep on saying. After a while, the thing will not finally happen. No, you must understand that things have seasons, and there are things that must be accomplished in each season. So if you want your season to change, one of the things you do in life is you locate quickly what it is that's keeping you in this season. Like I said, you know, these just 3 days we're talking about, so make foundation for prayer. We can't say everything. But we have explained it here and there before, all right? That each season there are things you're supposed to accomplish. So one of the prayers you must learn to pray is for God to open your eyes to understand what is he keeping you here. When it comes to spiritual development, don't forget we said it. Most important thing God is doing in your life is transforming you into the image of Christ. He's not making you rich. He's not healing your body. He's not trying to make a name for himself through you. The most important thing is what? It's transforming you into the exact image of Christ. And when that has been accomplished, all other things are what? Added unto you. Therefore, in this season, you must understand the degree of resemblance to Christ that you must achieve before you go to the next season. Because there are things you cannot, in that same development, there are things you cannot enter into. that is in the image of Christ until you go to another level to understand him better. Because what God is doing is revealing himself to us. Are you getting my point? Yes. And listen, all our interactions in life, that's what he's using them to do. He's revealing himself to us. Sometimes what he wants you to know about him, you can't know it because of certain problems inside you. Do you follow? Like Jesus spoke to the disciples, I'm going to do this. And then he said, no. He said, there are things I want to tell you, what I would like to reveal to you about myself, but you can't understand it yet. So what God does is that, listen, there are things you will pray from now to tomorrow, study the scriptures from now to tomorrow. As long as you're a university student, there are things you will never learn. You must graduate first. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you may desire God, say, listen, I know you want, you think so, but don't worry. No matter how hard I talk now, until I bring you out of this place and expose you to certain things in life, you will not understand. One of my just came back in the missionary to East Africa. I talk about him all the time, right? He's been here before, Pastor Corey. When he came back, he called me. They want to say warfare. He said, thank God I came back alive. You can be here and be praying and praying. There are things that you can't even seem to understand until you get to the center of. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, listen to our series on Genesis. We want to talk about why Abraham used to build an altar. Now, what used to happen is that he'll go through an experience, and God will show him his power in that experience, and he'll come and build an altar so as to accommodate the new revelation of God that he now has. Do you follow my point? I mean, he took his wife, and then they returned his wife. Are you getting what I'm saying? Understand this. They kidnapped your wife. You expect a phone call for ransom. In fact, they've been calling you for ransom. You know, that's what's going on in Nigeria these days. The calling is like, all right, I don't know, give us 5 million naira. And you look at, spend it. Then you will spell 5 million. Do I look like I can spell 5 million? You know? And then, they say, don't worry, I'm going to kill her if you don't bring money. The next morning, wake up. The same people that took your wife away. Philip arrived, open the door. Come, please, come in. Okay, please, no, please. Pray for us. And then they run away again. You have not even told police. You only told maybe your friend and your pastor. And you guys just prayed. That way, next time you want to go out at night, you won't be afraid. You won't be afraid. If anybody says, who are you? Say, I'm the woman that his wife was kidnapped. But the kidnappers realized it was a risky venture. And they brought her back the next day. Do you want to experience that? They were looking like this guy is dangerous. The kind of boldness with you talk. But you see, there are certain revelations you will not have come to until you went that, through that experience. Are you getting my point? And that was what happened to Abraham. You are following me. So that's like everything you go through in life. Always check. There is something. You know, we said on Saturday, forget all the noise. There's one thing. There's a still small voice. Something that God wants to pass across to you. Don't forget that. So, you must learn the lessons for this season so you can step into the next season. How many of you read this book, Happiest People on Earth? That was reading the book a few days ago, and the first 40 pages was what I read again. I said, I haven't been reading in a while. I suddenly began to realize, reading that book again, that indeed, God is alive as well, and is planning even the affairs of generations yet more. When I read the book, you know what I'm saying? There are different aspects of God you will learn, you must, and that's what he's trying to do. That's the primary thing. But there are different ones that, in fact, just by the way, next year I was telling my wife, let's do something, just the year is closing. Let's take a few days, maybe 1 week, and we'll just sit down. We'll just study from the book. We'll look at different stories and see how the Bible teaches about it so we can get some lessons out of it. It's a very beautiful book. We should read it. It's a very, very, very beautiful book. One of the things that struck me there, let me not go into that now, but one of the things that struck me there was how Demos Chakarian's father was laboring very hard and the business was not moving. It wasn't business, it was working somewhere. He was becoming very sick. He had this, but he used to inhale, you know, leather from dust, and dust from leather. He was now had this cough that was going to kill him. His lungs were beginning to fibrose. And one day they went to church and prayed. And they opened the Bible and read from the scriptures. That blessed shall you be in the fruit of the field and the fruit of the cattle and stuff like that. And to him was a revelation. He stopped working there and decided to start dealing in produce. And decided to start raising dairy animals. From there, he became very rich and became exceedingly rich. Something struck me there again. I want to tell my wife, you see, People say that any business you like, just conceive it and pronounce it. Don't be so. There are things that God ordained for you. Are you getting my point? Yeah. There are things He ordained. So you do this one, boy, nobody may send you. Do this one, you will see. Honestly, a few years after the guy took that turn, he wasn't the same again. And I began to buy land, you understand my point? Began to own animals. A few years, well, they owned the largest dairy farm in that part of the United States. And they were now aiming to be the biggest in the United States. Then from there to becoming the biggest in the world. He told them the biggest in the world that time had less than 3,000 animals. He said, good, we are going for 3,000. It began somewhere, you understand? And he was going through certain experiences in life. Things were not moving. He went to church and then they prayed. And the revelation came out. In summary, you are not doing what you are supposed to be doing. Now, like I told you, I can't remember what I wanted to say when I went to the ground. Just came to my mind. I guess somebody needed that. I think somebody needed it, all right? So it's good you heard it. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So we're talking about the seasons of life. So that's the thing about season. When season is going to change, it's not just about desire the change, let's say that pray, let it change. No. So listen, we must accomplish what is required for one season, so we'll step into the next. And I said last time, so going to that next season again, we start asking, because if the seed is proper, you get my point? If the appropriate, or if the seed is well prepared, the Bible says that the appropriate body will be given to it. Do you follow my point? Yes, it will be given to it. So sometimes the seed inside us, all right, is not actually well prepared yet for the next season we want to get into. And then that's what we need to pray, so that God will give us understanding. And we used that one to pray last time, that the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall be that. There's something that I need to know about where I plan to get into. Except that I know it, I cannot step into it. Otherwise, I will make a mess of it. And God is keeping me here until I learn that lesson. Very important. All right? Now, we're just saying many things to put all of them together. My time is running, so let me get to the main thing I want to say today. Now, as I was thinking about what I would say today, all right, and what we used to pray, something came to my mind. And I believe it's right. And I wrote on a piece of paper, complacency. What did I call it?
Complacency.
That Andrew Mark series that I recommended, that, you know, a lot of them we had there. There's one to talk about anger management. In that message, there was something he said that really, really stuck with me. And he talked about anger. And I've experienced it before myself. I find out that, listen to this, talking about prayer for change of seasons, all right? What I want to bring out is the issue of complacency. And that's the fact that one of the reasons why our seasons don't change is that we don't realize it, but we are happy where we are. I don't know that you understand. We may not think so, but we are not really, really unhappy with what is going on. We are complacent. We have come to accept what is inferior as normal. That may not be the issue with everybody, but you see, when the world is coming for different people, have different things, that's their issue. Are you getting my point? Like Anakin will say, one of those messages I listened to, that there are many things that was only about healing as an example that may be holding back somebody's healing. Now, for certain people, there are certain issues, and then when they have settled that, there are other issues that may come up and they have to tackle. So that's the way it is with life. So as we are saying this, just know the one that really applies to you. The Holy Spirit will sit on it and let you understand it. Now, I was saying that one of the problems is that people are not, they are complacent, they are happy, they are comfortable. Now, don't ever forget, there is a difference between contentment and complacency. Contentment simply means you are walking with God and you recognize the seasons of life as God is taking you through them. Complacency is that God says, come to a land that will show you. You get to Haran and you get there and you are okay. Haran, you just prosper in Haran. He said, leave the promised land, leave Egypt, we are going to the promised land. The first plot of good land you see, you want to settle. Moses has to make you swear that you still go and conquer the rest of the land. That's complacency. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's complacency. The other day I talked to my wife, we were discussing something, and I said that some of my friends, actually a senior to me, and so one of the things I've noticed about him is that his attitude towards things in life, I don't want to judge the things of another man seriously, I get my point, but I just want to say something to you, because my wife, I said, I think his attitude towards things in life is the reason why some of those things won't come to him. Now, please, Mike Murdock says, whatever you don't respect, you don't attract. Like, if we are talking as an example, and let's talk on maybe material things, society, and all of that. And you see somebody uses a phone. You know, I don't believe in expensive phones, you know. You know, it's against my religion.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it's against my religion. All right. I was watching a comedy, and the comedian said that Jews, that Indian, he's an Indian, all right? Indian heritage, he's Canadian. People say Jews are cheap. He said, well, Jews are not cheap. Yeah, they inspect things and check whether there's quality in it. And if there's quality is in it, they'll pay for it. He said, but the Indian will look at it. He's an Indian, just, you know, it's a comedy, you know, just making mockery of things. That the Indian will look at it and say, how much is this? $20. I can have it made for $4. That they always try to, you know, bring things ahead. Now, I'm not an issue. There's a difference between somebody, that's why I don't like expensive phones. Like, a lot of those things are hype, you know, and then the people really don't require it. Just want to be able to carry it. I'm carrying a boat, seven. How much is it? 200,000. What does it do? The vendor does not know. I'm just carrying a boat, seven. And you have to know. There's no boat, seven, don't worry. I'm just saying, to talk, all right? So, you just have to know, you understand? But that's not what I'm talking about. There are things that have inherent value. Do you get my point? Yes, yeah, a lot of things have inherent value. An iPad, I don't have one. A pad, I don't need one. Like, nothing I'm doing with it. But it has inherent value. There's something it does. Why don't I have one? I don't see what I'm going to do with it. Because I always carry this computer everywhere. And I can't manage two of them. I need this keypad. I'm always writing. I'm always typing. So I need a keypad. All right? So, but it has inherent value. Now, this is my friend. What happens to him? If I shut up in his office with iPad, is it this kind of thing, sir? Why are people bothering to spend money on things like this? And I'll say to him, because they need it for something. Oh, what are they needing it for? People just like to spend money. If you enter, if you get come into his presence, if you enter a place where he is, and you're smelling very nice, which perfume is that? And you tell him, and he says, oh, that's very nice. How much does it go for? Tell him the price. Ah, he will turn his head. Just turn it to one side. And I feel like, Agaku, better soup. It is still money that kills it, haunts it. You know, dresses it and sells it to people. Everything, you go, turn here, go one side, turn here, go one side. So when I told my wife, I said, this is this guy's problem. And I've seen people like that before. They are happy, like, oh God, we have left Egypt. Do you get my point? We have left Egypt. Praise God. But they get to the edge of the promised land and they camp there, they're very happy. They are very happy. They are very happy. When they were growing up, like this, Miles Monroe was saying, and that's message I said you should listen to. Maybe 11 children in one room, but at least now, it's only him, his wife, and two children in two rooms, and it's okay. That's like that for the last 20 years, and he's happy. Why? Because he hasn't forgotten that there was a time we were 11 in one room. Sorry, 13, 11 children and two parents. So now, he's very happy. Talk here, talk good there, and I lie. As you are talking, the guy hasn't forgotten that, there used to be 13 of us in one room. Now we're only four in two rooms. You can laugh. What's the truth? Except God opens your eyes. You won't live beyond that level. A scripture came to my mind as I was thinking about it. Psalm 119, verse 18. David said, open my eyes, O Lord, that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. The Lord is good. Now, that scripture, all right, is very important. David said, open my eyes. Let's read it quickly. Psalm 119. You know why I'm saying this? Praying to change seasons. Sometimes, until you are tired of the current season, you're not going to the next one. Verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from thy law. There are many interpretations for that. Listen, when they were going to the promised land, one of the things the Lord told them is the kind of land that they are going to meet. They were not used to it. They were used to the land in which they had to irrigate. The Lord had to explain to them that there are certain kinds of land where people don't irrigate. When it's time for farming, the irrigation falls from heaven. I don't know whether I get my point. That is, there are things that people don't struggle for. That you can get to a particular place in life and those things just fall from heaven. One of the things the Lord taught me long ago, you know, I learned that, I don't even know how I learned it. God has been good to me for a long time. And the thing he's giving me greatest of all, right, is this understanding. I'm telling you, those days, you know, you see, you are still there, you see a lot of them around. When people get there, say, ah, how much is that car? 20 million. Oh! When they have finished stealing money, that is, you saw a car. You saw, you admired it, you did. Until you heard the price and you realize that your God can never take you to that level in life. So you say only the devil takes people there. So you just condemn everything. Boom! After they have finished stealing money. Thereby saying, since I will never steal, it's not my portion. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I learned long ago not to talk such nonsense. One day, my wife and I went to Narashitu in Lagos. Can you still remember? Then I just stopped. You know, they arrest people for looking at brand new cars. One looked at a very nice Jeep and all of that. I told the girl, the sales girl, that, don't worry, my check never cleared. I told my wife, let us go. I knew, I did not have the money. One day, even that, they went to buy a small car. So my wife said, I like that one. Please don't mind me. I just said, I will knock you now. Who doesn't like it? Is it money that we do? Is it not money that we don't have? You know, this one, you call it a discussion now. It was brand new that time. We tried to say, I like that. Look at. This guy takes time. Who do you think does not like it? The fact I'm driving past it, you think it is because I don't like it? I like it too. The problem is that there's lack of cooperation between my pockets and the people selling it. But there are things that never came to my mind. Hey, what are you doing with those kind of things? Listen, I don't have the money, period, that's all. It's not a sin. No matter how expensive a Rolls Royce is, right now, if I want to like to buy one, it's not a prayer point, amen. Praying about such things is irrigating with your feet. I mean, just wait for them to rain from heaven. That's what the Bible says. And we're getting to a place in life where they're going to fall from heaven, amen. Yeah. I'm going to make it a prayer point and other things to pray about. But I like it, fine. We give you a ride in one, you'll pray better, amen. So trust me, your prayer will change. You'll be able to focus on the things that will transform the society. Right now, you're spending too much time praying on food. The Lord is good. Now, what I'm saying, well, let me not say too much of that. The point I'm making is this. People get very complacent. I was talking about Andrew Womack. Andrew Womack said something, that's one that, the one that struck with me. He said, listen, there are times you get angry. So there was one man, they diagnosed that he had cancer and he got angry. Now, what kind of insult is this? And he told the cancer, listen, let me explain to you. This body is my own, not your own. He was angry. The guy was like, what kind of insult? Man, come on, don't try this. So he said, no, forget. You get up in the morning and go and jog and run. Finally, the cancer ran away. He said, go jog. So keep your body to yourself. We'll find somebody else to kill. He said, the guy got angry. Believe me, I've had experience like that in my life also. I think you are just angry. They say pray, we can't nonsense pray that. Not praying anything. I'm angry. But the first time I understood it, when Andrew Mark explained that the Bible said, don't let the sun go down on that anger. It must not die. The Bible said that, okay, you shouldn't get angry tonight. Andrew Mark said, no. That let that anger be hot. Let it not cool down. That's what it means. That the sun shouldn't go down. That there are certain things your anger should be burning concerning all the time. One day, this was a few days ago, my son was ill. He was, I don't, the prayer I prayed for him that day, I'm sure that's why he got well. And he's like, no, come here. In that, this will not be normal. Father, give you thanks.
No. What kind of rubbish is this? You know that the house of this kind of house be? Wait, see, not try him again. Oh, in the name of Jesus. I go just vex him.
The boy said, amen, amen, amen. Oh, you are well. Go. You know, because you know, paracetamol day, Google friend day, anti malaria day, generally just get used to it. Now they have the headache, take that paracetamol day. It's easier than praying. I mean, take it.
My leg is paining me. It's paining me.
Sorry, Jesus, came, like, don't pay him again. Don't pay him again. No, I go there. See that? Bring that syrup. She can take one spoon. Go and sleep. And they don't disturb you, so you are okay. The few times that happen like that, that's the one picking sick. The next one, then I get the third one. Vex, vex, vex. Don't enter. And once vex sets in, the devil they retreat. So even before, don't vex him. Don't vex. Do you follow the point I make? That's what I mean by complacency. If you have been very poor in life, you finally got you one small job. But the first time, you don't have to pray for food. You job like that for the last 2 years, you'll be very happy. After all, there was a time we had to pray for food. And God, God is looking. He wants to step to the next level. But you are grabbing, you know, God, please, so there was a time I had to pray for food. There was a time I had to pray for you. Don't take me away from here. The Lord said, there are better places. Ah, no, no. There was a time I had to pray for you. Grabbing the thing tight. The Lord said, yeah, what do we do? Sacking. Ah. Let him go back to praying for food. So that he can stop getting. Do you follow my point? What am I praying today? Sometimes for our seasons to change, we just have to get angry and get tired of a kind of season. There are things that after a while you are just bored, you say, God, there must be something else. I'm tired. I know they do again. And that was when my wife and I were talking. I said, listen, don't think it's every time God will just show you this is the next level, you step into it, you follow my point. And then the door will just, you know, will open before you walk. He said there are times, and it happens. Listen, there are two ways. You know, I remember then Pastor Paul, he said something. That Moses, when he was going to deliver the children of Israel, he stretched his hand, the Red Sea opened. They saw it open. They saw it separate. The land was dry before they walked in. He said, to cross the Jordan, it wasn't like that. The water did not separate until they walked into the water. They told the priest, enter. The priest carried their, they entered into the wet water. They got wet before the water now stopped. Just packed up somewhere, the rest flowed, and then the thing allowed them to cross. And there are times God will just open door like this. There are times you all walk into the door. Say, better open. I'm walking in. Better open. What I mean is this. Instead of managing a level, sometimes there are times you just beg, say, I know I'm not managing. I'm not walking again. I'm sorry. Hunger will finish you. I said, I am not walking again. Let this hunger finish you. God, I've been on this level the last 5 years. I'm tired. You take me beyond this level, then let me die here. That is that level. I'll walk away from it. I walk into hunger. Say, yeah, I'm leaving this one. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I read the story of Jabez again. Quickly open to it. First Jabez chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 9 of First Chronicles chapter 4. And the Bible said that Jabez was honorable, more honorable than his brothers. And his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. Now Jabez, verse 10, called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. Why did I read this? As I was reading about this, I realized something. And what happened to Jabez was he got tired. Do you get my point? I'm like, to give birth to me, pain. Primary school, pain. Secondary school, pain. Everything trouble because his name You read through the scriptures, you will know that name has been afflicting him everywhere he went.
Yes.
And finally, one day, he went like Hannah.
Are you getting my point?
You know why I said that in Genesis 25, why I wrote that one down, was the same thing happened to Isaac. Isaac married, he brought Rebecca for him, and for 20 years, Rebecca did not bear him a child. Again, I believe, the time came, he too got tired. Before they had been arranging, don't worry, it's all right. After all, it's just a test story. Enjoy Rebecca.
I wonder the guy just, what kind of nonsense is this?
That particular level, he just got tired of it. That's what I'm saying. So I read this before I got married. I said, wait, 20 years. Why did bro wait for 20 years? There are many reasons why we wait for 20 years. Sometimes the need for the next level is not pressing on us, so we relax. One of my friends said one day he had a clinic. This is going to make me laugh. I went in, I think Imo State. Amigo. Yes, Amigo. Imo State. He had been sick for like 3 days. He was alone in the house. He's a doctor. So one of those days he was lying down there. He was sick, he had not eaten. He was really ill. And the nurse came to his house, knocked on the door. He said, "Doctor, patient is waiting for you." And the nurse walked away again. And he dragged himself. And all he was thinking was, so if I had died inside here, all this nurse is thinking about is this patient. The patient is waiting for me. He dragged himself out. He swore, "God, I am not going to be a single man after now." I think that year, he got married. The following year. So wait. The man will just burn me inside here. Nobody will all just burn down. His body starts smelling. He had been sick. He was he said was the nurse came, knocked on the door. I just told him, you know, like flatly, "Doctor, you haven't seen me for a while. You didn't bother. Patients are waiting for you." And I walked away. He swore, said, "Dear Lord, this is an end. Has come to an end." I said there are many aspects of this. There are times that's what God is waiting for from people. And I said, "No, this is okay. We're managing. No problem." I said, "It's all right. It's all right. Just you and Rebecca, you guys are cool." I said, "What else is the man looking for?" I said, "No problem. Once he has his wife." I said, "No wahala." The point came, Isaac got tired. I believe that's what happened to Isaac. He said, "No, you can't remain like this forever." You see, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. You know what that word fervent says? Amplified. Heartfelt. That is, there are two kinds of prayers. There is this, "Pastor, pray for me." "Yes, I will pray for you." "Dear Father God, that brother that said I should pray for him, bless him, keep him, it is well with him. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah." That prayer works. Just does. It's small. Potency is low. But you get some kind of prayer. "No, your pastor. I just your friend. Oh boy, I won't die now." That's how people talk about body. Listen. This is what I've come to understand. Bodies come from two levels. There's a body that comes because you are touched. When God needs work done, and the people are not, they can't be touched because they are not, you can't force yourself to be touched. Are you getting my point? So I'm going on the road, you're hurrying, you see a car, bam, jammed themselves, two people, driver injured, they are bleeding. Then we say, this is our roads. Careless driving. And you keep going. Because some other people have stopped. You say, okay, all right. But imagine they just say, as you are driving past, they just say, "That's your brother." You know the way you go, "Ooh, you go turn. Run, go there. Come on, to church. How far? Where is he? Are you okay? Bruce, are you okay? Are you okay? You're bleeding from the nose. Into the car. Hospital." That's the one that you are what? Touched. Whether you're a Muslim, a Hindu, doesn't matter. That one is your brother. Or is your wife, your relative. That's how people are touched. And one of the reasons why God gave us relationships so that people can pray for us. No, what I'm telling you is not a joke. Bible says when God catches a solitary man, he sets him in the family. He said only the rebellious dwell in vast places. Don't listen. You must be in a family in life.
Amen.
You must. My friend that died the other day, his wife said something. In all the midst of the pain and everything, she said, I'm very proud. Because our brethren gathered. She just said, like, they'll just watch. We did not be talking with the family, doing everything. Where's the body? It's in South Africa, no problem. We made our phone calls. The body rises and so on. So did. What next? She said, oh, God, I'm proud. He said, when God finds solitary, we put them in families. He said, but the rebellious one said, I don't need anybody. You will soon find out. That's by the way. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The point I'm making is that, listen, why did God do it like that? It's not a prayer of, oh, it shall be well. Stretch forth your hand. And I say, oh, in Jesus' name, Father, tell me, can you do it? Ibala. And my wife finished cooking the rice. My man, they hungry. Ibele. He gets some kind of prayer like that. Will they try? It's not totally wasted. It gets small anointing. God will gather like 500 of those ones to reach one small level inside the bottle. But one person that's concerned, that's what I'm talking about. Do you follow my point? When the heart is in it, one, not 500 people, one, the bottle will fill to overflowing. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, that's what life is about. It's not just to utter words in prayer. God would say, are you serious about it? Are you what? Are you serious about it? You can't just force it. That's why sometimes when God needs somebody and there is nobody that you think touches directly, that is second place. He not just takes a spirit and say, God just place a burden upon somebody. Bam! The man suddenly would be, that's an anointing. You get my point? It's the spirit of God poured upon the situation. Alright, to solve a situation, pause upon somebody. And the thing just is, listen, without these two, prayer doesn't work. In law, they call it what? Local standing. What right do you have to be talking on this matter? That's the point. What am I saying? The reason is that in the realm of the spirit, sometimes until something hits somebody properly, until he's really tired, he's not ready to go to that next level. By the class I teach, the university has a rule, the faculty. You fail pathology 4 times, they withdraw you from the faculty. Usually by the time you have failed pathology a 4th time, you have been in the school for like 7 years. It's not funny. You go to school for 7 years, and I said that you can't finish the course. And then they have no soft landing plan for you. You still have like 5 or 6 students since last year. Where I'm going is, I've had a number of students. There's one currently. I still remember one guy some years ago. Then they just assume they can't withdraw us, they are leaving. But then suddenly they realize that men withdraw us, stand them in the face. Boys who I thought their brains were fried, suddenly the brain woke up, began to grow. There was one student, I thought the guy, sorry, don't be angry with me, but I thought his brain is made of sawdust. I just do my duty to walk him out of duty. You know what I'm saying? I didn't expect any good to come out of that Israel, of Nazareth. Yes. Well, oh boy, don't realize it. I failed this exam. I'm dead meat. To my shock, I checked the script, the first exam. I didn't believe the mark I was in. I said, okay, it's because I tried to help them and make sure that they were really prepared. The next exam, the guy, how they look. This guy consistently is going up. I said, the more I realize it, oh boy, this will not be play again. I failed this exam, I'm out. Suddenly he's focused. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm talking about that passion. Sometimes we need to get to that level before God pushes us to the next level. That's why I read that scripture. And that's why I told the story of that, my friend. I noticed that. That man is still comfortable. He's too comfortable. You see, Of course, you understand what I mean by a contentment and complacency. Contentment is actually very selfish. One of my very selfish is enough for me. What else is a man looking for? Is enough for me. Remember what Tunde Bakare said? He got angry that the pastor was always begging for money in church. Brethren, as God is blessing you, please, we have to do this work, you know. The man got, and then the pastor says he starts getting angry. So he went and told himself, God, please, let's have an arrangement. What's the arrangement? Pray. You are the pastor. Pray that God will bless you. And I promise you, you won't have to make that kind of announcement again. And God heard him. And God blessed him. I've told the story several times. You get my point? Listen, our seasons in life must change. There are many factors. But one which I want to drop with you today is, are you really tired of this current one? One of my guys does this when I was a resident doctor. He's also a pathologist today. There was a senior military officer. And he used to say that. He said, don't manage. He said, why not? He said, you'll soon get used to it. When we get to the office, he said, we're supposed to have maybe this kind of white sheet as an example. So there are no white sheets, but this is brown one we do. You will use the brown one. Say, guys, it's supposed to be white, right? He said, stop. Forget the brown. Let's continue looking for the white. He said, but the brown is also okay. He said, that's the problem. You will soon get used to this brown one, and you will forget that it's supposed to be white. He always used to warn us, say, please, stop managing. Now you will get used to it too. And of course, an experienced man. And he was right. You listen to that Andrew Mark message. The man who came to him and said, he had a pain in the leg, he had this one, he had that one, he had the headache. And then he said, it's just a pain in the neck, that's the problem. If God can just pray that God will heal that one, I can manage the rest. Andrew Mark said, I understand. I understand you are trying to save God. Energy bills. He heals all of you now. Never prepared meter. All his credits will finish. Did he just finish? And the man thought and said, yes. The light in heaven is not going to dim because God heals me thoroughly. The problem is I have gotten used to my pain. I have come to accept it as normal. What's my message to you today? Stop getting used to it. Psalm 119 verse 18. Say, Lord, we are praying now. Say, Lord, open my eyes so that I will understand what you really want me to have, where you want me to be, so that I won't just be, you know, because where I am, I'm not going to do anything that you want me to do in life. Last time we prayed with the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. This is the prayer point for today. Psalm 119 verse 18. Open my eyes, O Lord, that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. That is, I will focus on the things that you want me to have, the place you want me to be in life, so I won't be used to what I am in right now, managing. Listen, these things are spiritual. When the heart is not ready, God finds the heart to push the person to the next level. Do you get the point I'm making? Let's talk about this money thing as an example. Like that, my friend was giving an example. I believe very strongly, if indeed he's a committed Christian, I believe he is. I believe very strongly that God, I mean, looking at things around, that God wants to move him in a level beyond the place where he is right now. I believe it. But every time I talk to him, I just have the opinion that he likes it like this. He said, how can a man like, no, men do. They can like it like that. I mean, I told this story before. Kenny Higgins said, he and his wife went to pray for one woman one day. And they said, today, this woman is getting healed. She has been in this wheelchair long enough. Young man, young pastor, and his young wife. Yes. They went and said, madam, we have come. Now I'm adding my own words now from this point. We have come with a mandate from heaven. The power of God must show today. Today. Really, they began to pray. And they prayed. They said, no, we are not living here. And God said, nah, I'm adding this one now. The Lord looked and said, you see, you will soon understand how me to how I behave. Just watch me. And God released the power.
Boom!
The Holy Spirit came, took the woman out of the wheelchair and suspended her in the air. So that there's no story of what is going on. The next thing, the woman just came out of the chair, into the air. She was hanging above her chair. She looked in panic. Oh, she raised for the chair and pulled herself back into it. And he got angry and said, you have no faith. She was angry. And the woman said, oh, no, no, no. I've always believed I'm going to die in this chair. The man called his wife, packed his clothes and walked out. Listen, he prayed until the power of God became physically down. You know, this is what I always say. God said, You thought I didn't know? You didn't say you can't pass me, have you? You see? And he said, I've gotten which book? I read that message. If you read him a lot, you would have encountered it. He said he was angry. He was angry. But what kind of thing is this? And the woman was like, no, don't worry about it. You're young man these days. You fire your bones too much. You know what's a woman looking for? After all, the wheelchair can roll. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, there are those who like trouble. They are used to it. You never met a friend who likes to tell you all their troubles. From now on, stop telling people your troubles. You know, it's a sign that you're enjoying it. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, stop discussing your troubles. You're enjoying it too much. You need to have it. For the last 2 days, I did not sleep. Anytime I go to sleep, they will come. Say, who's there? I don't know. You'll start biting me in the ear. He said, no, don't worry, we'll be praying with you. Pray for me. I think you should pray for me. They call you the next morning. America, are you there? You know, I told you earlier, I wasn't going to sleep. I did not sleep. Have you been praying for me? Say yes, I've been praying for you. In fact, the Lord said that. Wait, you see, you know, the part I did not tell you is that's the one that even pains me most. When I, after not sleeping the whole night, my stomach was not stopping me the whole day. You better be praying for me, oh. Be praying for me. As you hear that the second time, tell the person, stop calling me again. One of my friends said that, let's go and see this person. I said, I beg, I don't want to hear tales of war. The guy laughed. He said, oh, you notice? I said, I don't go notice. Just park. As he comes, I said, good afternoon, peace be unto this home. You people have come. Let me tell you the problems I've had the last 5 days. Anytime my husband arrives, all the cockroaches just come out and be chasing him around the house. Can you believe it? This demon. Just carry on, no water come out. Some people like to tell stories. It makes them feel good. Feel good that please pity me. Pity me now. Tell me though. You don't told me though. How many did you say? One? Did you mean it? Say it again. Some people love it. Those who love it, the Lord bless them. But you, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you not to ever go around whining about your troubles because it's a sign that you love it. Yes, you are broke, I know. But come out and say, Father, God is good. God is good. Say, how are you doing? The Lord has been good. The Lord has been good. For every day that you have wine, you need 2 days to unwind. You know what I'm saying? All my troubles, everything. No. God is good. Life is good. Life is good. Listen, when you start behaving like that, your body will know you don't like where you are. Listen, life is spiritual.
Yes,
you hear what I said? Life is what?
Spiritual.
Life is what?
Spiritual.
Life is what? Spiritual. There are things that are controlling what is coming to you and what you are repenting. It's not just the one you. Many people get up in the morning, go about their business, but their soul is saying, fail. Because if you don't fail now, when they are taking off, you have to put up your hand. It sounds funny. There are people who don't want business. No, the moment you go home, Christmas time. They will not sell off if you contribute money. Once you have now, there are those who don't like telling stories. You know I don't have. They go to home. Everybody say, hey, you know, this is our house. We need to do this. He say, you know I don't have. You know I don't have. Please repeat after me, all my friends. You know it. I say, yes, you don't have. Amen. Be it unto you according to your faith. And the guy never has. And he comes back and says, you know I told you I don't have. You know what I'm preaching today? Vex. What did I say?
Vex.
Get angry. Stop being proud of you don't have. The story I told you the other day, the man that, Bishop,
the guy he went to collect that book from,
when he told the story, I was excited. He was poor like everybody else. Then he went to church. Listen to this. He said, that's, I said, let's read that book together. We'll look for time next year. That happens for me. I want us to read it together here and analyze it. Let's learn some lessons in life. Because there are many lessons to learn in life when people see people's experiences so that you can decode something from the scriptures. He said in his own case, they were in church taking an offering for what his friend standing beside him said, I would have said it was a mundane and useless nonsense thing. He said they wanted to buy a new car for their pastor. Praise God. You see, a car for a pastor is not crucial. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. That is bad. But you can understand it's not a crucial matter. Nobody is going to die. Are you getting me? There's no problem that like somebody's about to collapse and die. Nothing like that. But he said in his heart, he just felt like giving a certain, I can't remember, I told the story then, I've forgotten, maybe like 15 or 20,000 naira, 25,000, 25. And his salary was like 10 or 15,000 naira. Maybe he was believing God for money to come from somewhere. But let me make a long story short. He said he so wanted to do it and he didn't have money. He said, okay, let me sell something he has nobody agreed to buy. Now, this is where I'm going. Then, suddenly PTF came to town. And they gave him a consultancy job. And the first time they paid him the first month was 25,000. And a few months later, they increased to 30. And looking at him, he has not gone back since. Listen, somebody, I was reading, okay, well, it's a book one of our brothers wrote. He said that they don't follow other mediocres or failing people or people who criticize that. If you dream big, they say you are not being realistic. If you succeed, they say you are lucky. Are you getting my point? And they said, if you succeed, they tell you are lucky. I look at that guy from what he told me, and when I look at things, it's not that he was lucky per se. Are you getting my point? It's that the cry in his heart said simply, there are things I should be able to do. I don't know what I'm saying. Listen, a pastor's car is very good, amen? But you see, in that situation, I think what happened was beyond that. I believe that God said, this guy is tired. I don't know what I heard him say. That this level where he's in, he doesn't like it anymore. And God lifted him from that day till now. Are you getting my point? What's our prayer point again? Lord, I have gotten used to the things around me. Open my eyes so that from your word, I will behold the wonderful things that you want my life to be like. As I said to you before, don't ever join what I call the cult of poverty. Those who gather and be pointing and be telling every story that is bad, thereby condemning themselves to where they are. I was with a senior man one day. He said, it's not possible in life to be very rich except you are dirty. I know there are times you can't keep me quiet. You know, you cannot make me not talk. If President Jonathan says that in my presence, I will speak up and disagree. And I told the man, sir, it is not true. He said, what do you mean? Have you ever seen? I said, it's not what I have said, what I have not seen, sir. There are things that I actually have. Not every man is a thief. But because he has earned his salary all his life, do you understand my point? He just can't comprehend it. I didn't say you should comprehend from your salary. I said, open my eyes, O Lord, that I may behold what? Wonderful things out of thy law. Let us pray. I think I've made my point today. I think we should just bow down our heads. Yes, everybody bow down our heads. Don't stand up. Meditate. Think. That's the scripture. Open my eyes, O Lord. My wife was telling me yesterday about some kinds of favors she was getting. And she's going around and she's doing her business and all of that. And I was saying, very good. Get used to that. That's what is called grace. Get used to it. Stop believing you have to struggle to earn every naira. You don't have to be on the phone the whole day to get one simple favor. Say no. It's not every dry season the catarrh will kill you. I always have my own malaria in January. Who said your own malaria has your label? You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. That's what you should see in the eye. That is, your eyes should see that in the word of God. Open my eyes, O Lord, that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. Sometimes in the bid to teach that Christians should not be worldly, we taught Christians to be complacent and accept every nonsense that the devil gives to them. I was preaching already the other day, that friend of mine said that Christians did not pick and choose. I said it is pick and choose. I look into the word of God, I behold wonderful things, and I reject the things that God didn't say is inside there. He said, when God is sowing wheat, the devil also comes out to sow tares. I look for the tares in my life and I reject them. No! The Bible says that Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah's sake. I said, no, Isaac, 20 years. I think he got to that point before he vexed, before he got angry. Oh, the devil wants to becloud our eyes. Say, okay, it's okay, it's okay. It's just small malaria. Don't worry, it's not killing you. Just two tablets, you'll be okay. Don't get used to it. That's what I'm saying. Open my eyes, O Lord, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Open my eyes. Say, Lord, I have gotten too used to the backwardness, small thinking. Listen, only the word of God can break that thing. Only God's word can break it. I said, only God's word can break it. Only God's word. And that's why David taught us to pray, open my eyes, O Lord, that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. There's this scripture in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. The Lord was speaking. He wanted to do things for the children of Israel. He said, but this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. He said, I will increase their men like a flock. That is, God wants to do it. But he said, let them ask. Let them show to me that they want it. Jabez got tired. Oh, that you will bless me indeed. Praise the Lord, take me out of here. He said, oh, that you will bless me indeed. Sometimes until we are tired of the present, we are not ready to step into the next. Say, Lord, I am tired. Isaac said, no, I'm not taking this anymore. After 20 years, he finally took time out to entreat the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake. A time came when Anna too was tired. Anna said, alive. Bible says in the effectual, heartfelt prayer, what they really want, when they are sure they really want it. I like the way Andrew Womack said that. He said, you have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. You have to be tired of being broke and I'm being on edge perpetually. Your God is actually a good God. Ask yourself why. Say, God, you're actually good. Why do I always have to make excuses for you? Indeed, you are good. Let me not stop me continue to make excuses. No. God, I'm tired of making excuses. If you are good, and I know you are, then I walk into your goodness. What should I hear of house rent? I'm panicking. The rent is not due for the next 4 months. I'm already panicking today. Say, Lord, I refuse to panic. I'm not managing anymore. I am tired of managing. Open my eyes, oh Lord. The Lord may say, hey. Like I was telling you about that book. Demos Zakarian's father. Demos Zakarian's father said, hey, I'm tired of this. He had to support his mother and his sisters. As a young teenager, he was getting sick. So he went to church and told the people, guys, pray. And they prayed, and God opened his eyes. And the Lord showed him where next to begin to walk. You need the revelation of where next you should begin to walk. Say, Lord, no. I'm not going to hold to this as if I don't leave this one now. If I leave this one, I may die. And let me die now. I would rather die than continue like this. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Don't ever forget. We don't come here to pray. We come here to learn and to begin to pray. That is, whatever prayer we prayed here is a beginning. It becomes our lifestyle. We live here. We live here, and our life, for example, your life now, life of anger, if you know what I'm saying. And Rumak said, don't let the sun go down on that anger. You get my point? So we don't just come here to pray. We come here to begin a new lifestyle of prayer. Are you getting my point?